I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
Hey, and happy Saturday. It's me, Martine, and today we wanted to bring you a special bonus episode of Post Reports. So you might recall a recent conversation on the show where my co-host Elahe Azadi spoke with Michelle Singletary. Michelle is a personal finance columnist for The Post, and she has a new project called Michelle Singletary's Money Milestones. And what she told Elahe is that young people sometimes get a bad rap for not being on top of their finances.
We often talk about the younger generation in disparaging ways. You know, like they don't want to really work. They want to retire early. You know, they're overspending on avocado toast. And that's just not been my experience working with young adults, including my own young adults. They are very serious, many of them, about their money. And they don't want to make the mistakes that they see older adults do, who are crying and whining and worrying because they didn't develop good financial habits in their 20s.
So Michelle and her kids are on the same page about wanting to be responsible with their money, but they don't always agree on exactly how to do that. And that's what they're exploring today. From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers. It's Saturday, February 4th. And on this bonus episode, we are bringing you a conversation between Michelle Singletary and her daughters, Olivia and Jillian. Olivia and Jillian are both in their 20s, and they sat down with their mom to talk about how they think about their finances as young adults. No matter what age or stage you're at, this conversation will offer you some really important wisdom about saving and about how to talk about money with the people that you love.
We're walking people through how to handle their monies in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and so on. And so I wanted to have this conversation with the two of you because your dad and I were very intentional in your upbringing to try to teach you about money at an early age and set expectations for you.
I was actually talking to you, Jillian, about like the different stages of adulthood. And I think, like, college is probably, like, stage one. And then, like, post-college first job situation is, like, phase two.
I would say in your phase, you're in phase three. And I would say I'm in phase two, like, just starting my first job. I graduated in May. I'm very early in the adulting stage, which I'm glad to be, because adulting is for the birds.
Mm-hmm. Can we just go back to the adulting question? Because that's a new kind of term for me, adulting. And you guys say that a lot. So when you say that, you often say, I hate adulting. What do you mean by that? Let's start with you, Olivia.
I mean, just all of the things that come with being responsible for yourself, you know, financially, but then also just like keeping yourself fed and clothed and like clean is annoying. Like you're just like, I have to eat again, you know, like I have to wash laundry again. Like it's exhausting. Like, you know, when you're a kid, other people do that for you.
I would say more of what scares me about adulting is that there's no like laid out path. Something coming out of college that was hard for me was like up until that point, I knew exactly what I was supposed to do next. And when you're an adult, I feel like everything is just in the wind. So I like the independence. I just don't like not having like the safety net of like knowing what's next.
Yeah.
Do I want to stay at this job? Do I want to move to a different state? Do I want to stay in the area? I'm like, it's all just big question marks. And that's what about adulting freaks me out.
Well, let me give you just an example. So we go out to dinner. The check comes. I don't see either of you reaching for that check, Livia.
Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, like, that's what you mean.
I mean, I just think sometimes, you know, it feels as if...
But that's not a just a us thing. Like, when we go out to family dinners, like, you don't expect your sister to pay or, you know, our cousins
that's
to
true.
Pay. Like, you have a very generous spirit.
That's
and
true.
So I think, who am I
that's
to
true.
Deny you...
That's very true.
That's acting on that generous spirit.
Is that right?
Yes.
And also, I know you told me not to bring it up.
Oh my goodness.
In my personal instance, Olivia has had 5 more years.
Oh my goodness.
Of freeness than I have. If you're going to stop paying for her, that's fine, but you need to pay for me until I'm her age to make it equal for all.
Okay, we going to move on.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I'm so. So, you're living at home.
Yes.
And there's a big controversy about whether adults should live at home or does it stunt their financial maturity. And so I wondered if you could talk a little bit about living at home and what that means. And do you feel it stunts your ability to grow financially?
No, I think it enables it because when I'm at home, especially in the setup that we have, because I know some people have it different where they live at home and they pay rent, but I'm not paying rent. Because of that, I'm able to save really aggressively. Like, I have kind of a 5-year plan and, like, buy a new car and buy a home. And if I'm able to do that, then I will have gone into adulthood never having to rent. So I don't necessarily think that it, like, stunts my financial maturity or growth. I think that it helps it out a lot.
What about you, Jillian?
I would say no also because I feel like, but like I have a plan and also we have conversations about that plan and what the next steps are in terms of moving out. So it's not like, you know, I'm coming home and I'm like not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about growing up under the Michelle Singletary, personal finance columnist of the Washington Post. What was it like growing up with a financially savvy mom and dad? Did you think I was being too cheap?
Okay, so cheap is not the word that I would use. As a child, it's hard to understand, especially because we were in like private schools and stuff. Hard to understand why, like, all the other kids got the new shoes who were at the same financial level, and I was having you sit there and Gorilla Glue my shoes back together. I know you are cringing that I brought it up, but yes, I'm still bitter, and I will be bitter forever.
She's probably proud of that story.
I will be, no, she just winced. I will be bitter forever.
I'm very proud of that story.
See, she's proud
of it. Are you serious?
I'm very proud of that story. Well, tell them the story. Tell your version, and then I'm going to tell my version.
First of all, my version is the truth. I was in, what was I, in like 7th or 8th grade, and my shoes started to have the soles come off 2 weeks before the last day of school. And so mother decided that she was going to Gorilla Glue my soles back onto my shoes. And then, of course, the next day I had PE, and I was like doing my best, being my athletic self, and then the whole sole like slipped off and fell off my shoe. And then for the last 2 weeks of school, everybody called me Gorilla Glue. And so in that scenario, it did come off as being very, like, not even really cheap. I would say there's, like, a level below cheap that I don't know what the name is for it. But, like, that moment. But sometimes it felt like that. Sometimes it felt like you were trying to make us aware that, like, we didn't have all the money in the world.
Okay.
You know,
so the
sorry.
True version of no the true shoe version of that story was that's that it was actually more like 2 or 1 week before the end of the season. And you were growing so fast, and I didn't want to buy you a new pair of shoes that you wouldn't be able to wear in the fall. It made no sense. And these were expensive shoes.
Why were they expensive?
They were like
shopped
$50.
At Payless
shoes. Okay,
They were like the shoes that you had to get at a uniform store, which was like 2 or 3 times the cost of the Payless shoes.
Sure.
And so I didn't want to spend that money for just 2 weeks. And actually, there were several days that you wore it before it actually came apart because it was a really hot day. And so, but didn't it build character?
Moving on.
What's the next question?
So, Olivia, did you feel like you grew up under...
You got more of, like, the punny jokes than I got. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want a North Face jacket, you're going to turn around, face north.
Yeah.
Didn't she used to make... Because I didn't do this. Didn't she used to make you put together budgets for stuff? Like, if you wanted to go somewhere?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, there were budgets. It was just, like, a hyper-awareness around money that I think...
Other families didn't have, or other
kids that I was around didn't have.
Did it make you feel bad? Because oftentimes people, I tell these stories, you know, I speak a lot, and I tell these stories and people laugh, and then inevitably someone will say, Did it scar you? Right?
Part of our childhood trauma that we like unpack in therapy sessions?
Yes. At least you'll have the money to pay for the therapy sessions, but.
I think at first I think it did, like, I felt othered in that way. I don't necessarily think I got bullied, but people definitely, like,
noticed,
and yes. they would say things like, mm-hmm. oh, you're wearing high waters, mm-hmm. or, you know, yeah. like.
But then they would come to our house and be like, oh, you got right. it made. So there was, like,
a very big disconnect.
Yeah, there was a very big, like, what is happening with this right. family? So, right. yeah.
Well, because the house is really nice. Yes. Like, so there's, like, mm-hmm. certain things that I right. understand now that matter more, that yeah. you were like, okay, so we're going to get, like, a nice house, like, nice vacations. But I think as I've gotten older, it doesn't bother me as much because I have a different relationship to, like, monetary things, and I am able to, I think, save a lot more because I don't care about those things, because I think I was forced into not caring about those things, because if I had still cared about them, I would have been really unhappy and really upset and kind of angry and felt really insecure. So then I had to kind of adopt this mindset of, like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Why do you care what my shoes look like? You know, like, I had to kind of come up with retorts like, oh, like, your shoes suck, like, it doesn't matter what shoes I'm wearing, like, look at your grades, or, like, you know, like, it's just like that yeah, back and
I used
forth
to do that, yeah so, like, who cares, but, you know, yeah. I think
so you're not scarred.
No, I'm not scarred. I think, I mean, it definitely built character a little bit, but I don't think I'm scarred or, like, I have any trauma over, like, the decisions you made, like, not to get me those shoes. I mean, the high waters, I feel like, was a little bit much, but, you know.
Look, you could call them capri pants.
And that's what you used to say. Kids don't know what capri pants are, and so they would be like, mm-hmm. what are capris? Like, that was like a middle-aged woman sort of outfit, but, Lord. You know, sure.
The humor, the jokes was sort of a way to kind of, you mm-hmm. know, lighten it up a little bit. I know I probably thought I was more funny than you guys did. For me, watching you guys handle your money, I feel like it was all worth it. The rolling of the eyes, mm-hmm. the thinking that this woman is crazy. Which of my financial habits annoyed you the most?
I would say that the financial habit that annoyed me the most growing up was eating out versus not eating out. And even when we ate at home, the choices and, you know, the freeze the food, thaw it out.
Or cut the mold off of it.
Or, like, scrape the burnt pieces off the top, like, instead mm-hmm. of just going out and getting some more. I'm not saying I would go to bed hungry, but I would go to bed. I would go to bed lacking the satisfaction of a good meal.
Oh my goodness.
I feel like I lacked the satisfaction of a good meal a lot. I do. You're laughing, but I'm serious.
I used to be like, what was that
when I go upstairs? Like, it would be like canned green beans, dry chicken from Thanksgiving in February, and, like, some burnt bread that was hard with, like, the crust, you know, cut off. I would be like, this was a fail. So that's what I would say what annoyed. I mean,
can,
like,
you let people know that you are actually exaggerating?
No, I'm not exaggerating at all. I'm sure if you went in our fridge now, you'd find stuff from Thanksgiving. I'm not exaggerating.
Right.
She freezes everything.
Like, the birthday cakes. Like, you
right,
froze.
Exactly. That annoyed
me. A birthday cake. Yep. Mm-hmm. One of the habits that annoyed me the most growing up was probably the phrases that were said repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And I know that they were attached to lessons that I use now. And so I do think, like you said, like, oh, it was worth it to kind of instill that. But just the constant, like, we don't got McDonald's money,
right.
or is it a need or is it a want?
Yeah.
Or, like, just like, okay.
No. You guys are doing a great job. I love how different you are and how the same you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting over here. I have to tell you, I'm going to cry.
Oh, boy.
I'm very proud because I didn't want to ruin you. Right? And I wasn't sure that all of my craziness would ruin you. I hoped that it wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I did want you to have a strong foundation in financial decision-making. Because that's really what you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Not just the cost of stuff. And so it just makes me feel very proud that you guys have internalized that and you're shaping your financial life around those things.
Can I add something, too?
Uh-huh, sure.
I don't remember specific things, but I remember, like, epiphanies that I have. And I remember the first epiphany I had that I was like, oh, I was more mature financially than my friends, is the first time I had to, like, I think, pay for my friend's meal. Because we had worked the same job over the summer. And she was like, how do you have that much money? And I was like, well, what do you mean? We worked all summer. And she was like, well, I bought a whole new wardrobe for school or whatever. And I was like, oh, I didn't do that at all. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you need me to get you? And she was like, yeah, that'd be great, actually. And then I think that was the moment I realized the small purchases started to not matter as much to me mm-hmm. as like being able to comfortably get a meal without having to worry about like how much is this going to affect my bank account.
Are you and your friends having serious conversations about home ownership, marriage, children? Do you still feel too young for all of that?
Yes, I still feel too young for it, but we're having those conversations. You know, I'm of the age group now where people are popping up with husbands and wives and babies. And I'm like, whoa, you know, like, yeah. wait a second. But I think growing up with kind of the mindset of thinking about the future as it comes to money, like I have, I guess, attracted friends who we were having these conversations, like even in high school, like it was always mature conversations with my friends. And so I feel prepared for it.
When did you realize fiscal responsibility was an important part of life and not just my job?
When people were telling me the student debt they had, the loans they were taking out in college, mm-hmm. I feel like that's when it hit me of like, oh, wow, we might be in the same place, but the decision you make financially drastically affect the things you can do, even though we're in the same life space or life moments.
So for the two of you not having student loan debt compared to your
huge.
Friends,
yeah.
is that
in
huge?
In high school, it's into yeah. college, I would say that was a huge moment of like, oh, okay, I'm going to be very much on the more fortunate side of this because of the financial mm-hmm. background that our family has.
Yeah, I guess I would say around college.
Yeah, the start of
and
college and stuff
having,
like that.
Also, college was the first time that I was out of the house on my own and was making financial decisions that you weren't aware of, like that I wasn't,
right.
you know,
yeah.
home
you
for you to
them.
See things. And so having conversations with people about the debt that they were taking on, I felt very fortunate to just be able to make those decisions without having to deal with the financial stress and burden.
Do you feel comfortable coming to me for financial advice?
Yes.
It depends. I would say it depends for everything. Like I said, I think I'm in that more sensitive stage of like not wanting as much advice as people are giving me because it's just coming from every which way. Sometimes I do need to just filter it out and I decide that this is something that I need to either do successfully on my own or fail on my own, but either way, I'm going to do it by myself. Mm-hmm. But in general, when it comes to like, you know, which credit card do I get? Which insurance do I get? Then I would say, yeah.
So, Olivia, I'm going to mm-hmm. start with you. So
oh,
it took several months to get you to put money in your retirement account, you know, just
I don't think that that's true.
You don't think it's true? It's like
no.
you kept saying, why? And I brought you
I
a package
took
of information.
Yeah, I didn't
and you
that.
Didn't read nothing.
No,
you
I
just
didn't.
Said,
I didn't read
pick what I'm supposed to put the money in. So what was that all about?
I think it wasn't necessarily that I wasn't going to put money in retirement. I think what I was pushing back on was the amount that you
that's
wanted me
I'm
to put into retirement.
Yeah.
And so it felt like a lot. And it is a lot. Like I'm, you know, what is it, like 15%? And so I was like, when I saw how much of that was coming out of my paycheck, I was like, ooh, wait a second. When I was running the numbers, I was like,
yeah.
I don't know about all that. And so I think it, for me, thinking about it in the terms of like, okay, if I am super aggressive now, what is this going to afford me in the future in terms of not having to spend so much of my life working that I can cut down on that earlier, because I know that there's a lot of people out now who are having to go back to work or pushing off when they're retiring. And so to have that conversation put it in perspective for me, I was like, all right, well, then we'll do the 15 and then my, you know, self at 62 is going to be so happy with, you know, the choice that I made at 26. So I think that was more what the conversation was. And it wasn't like, I'm just not going to retire because screw myself at 60. Like, I'm going to go to, you know, like,
so
I'm going to
go
to
Paris. Tell your sister, because she's dragging. I can't,
no,
I haven't got,
I mean,
why can't I get you to
I'm,
do it
I'm
yet?
I'm settling into the idea of putting that much in. I mean, mine is more really of, like, the job that I have now and the systems of setting that up are what's holding me back. But I wouldn't say I have a huge thing against saving for retirement in the way that you're asking me to save.
So you got to do the 15%. 80%.
I mean, we'll talk about more because I want to do the calculations that she was talking about. But, like, I'm not against it. Like, I've never been against it.
Right.
I understand the value and the importance of it.
So, wrapping up, do you guys ever worry about taking care of Dad and I?
No. No.
No. Just no.
Not financially.
Yeah,
right?
No.
We'll say.
Oh, yeah, sure. The logistics of that, I mean, that's a whole different podcast about, like, taking right. care of your parents.
Taking care of your aging parent is a whole
The financial aspect
game.
Of it, absolutely right. not.
That I don't
absolutely
worry about.
Not.
Well, wait a minute. Why are you not worried?
Because if you're as aggressive as of a saver as you say that you are, you're not taking all of it with you. So I'm just saying that, like, it might be sour for a minute, but
oh
the,
my God,
you know,
stop.
Reap what you, okay, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
I did say that I wasn't going to say
you
that.
You did
okay,
say that.
I'm
you
sorry.
Were.
I'm sorry. I asked you with a call.
So
I'm
anybody
sorry.
Listening, if something happens to me,
I'm
you
sorry.
Know, you know, have the police look into Jillian's whereabouts.
Oh, gosh. But no, I don't worry about taking care of you when the two of you get older. Because not only do I know that you're being really financially responsible mm-hmm. and saving for your own retirement
and
you know,
to
kind of
that to take care
right,
of you.
The position that we're in with
now,
starting out
yeah.
with like not, you know, not having student loan debt, like not having car payments, that will set us up to then have money to save so that if anything does happen to you or just kind of the natural progression of life of us having to take care of the two of you, we won't be strapped. And also, it's also nice that I know that my siblings are doing the same thing. I know.
I feel like we'll be pretty
that
equal.
My siblings are also saving in that way. And so it won't, I'm pretty confident that we won't have to have those kind of
conflicts,
arguments or yeah. tensions around so. Money and that we can all say, okay, we can all contribute equally to the care that you need.
That's good to know. I'm going to keep y'all in the wheel now.
I mean, but that doesn't mean we're not going to financially put it into a nursing home. So,
you know, that's so
just
wrong.
Just keeping you humble.
That's so wrong. That's so sorry. Wrong. You know, my goal really is to have people be intentional about how they handle their money. I tell you, I'm just bursting with pride because mm-hmm. that is what you're saying, that you have learned to be intentional about your money. This is like a mission for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's a passion. You know that. I live and breathe right. it. You know, it's like programs I do at church. It's like all mm-hmm. over. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think I really admire how much you and what you do helps other people who didn't grow up the way that I grew up. And I think that you have like a really big impact on people's lives because money kind of makes the world go around. Like there's a lot of tension, emotional strife. And so for me, I think that's what I am mostly excited about is that marginalized communities are getting this information and they're going to be able to help the people coming up after them. I know, right? It took coming into a podcast for me to give you all these compliments.
I know, right? Because y'all don't tell me none of this at home.
Well, because at home, it's annoying, right?
It's like, oh my gosh, leave me alone. Like, I don't want to sit down at the end of a long day and talk about my retirement plan. You know, like, it's, you know, it's not, you know, it's like you're just like my mom. And so, like, sometimes it feels nagging. But then when you actually sit down and you realize the kind of long-term impact it has, it's like, okay, I'm glad we're having this conversation. But day to day, it's just like you're my mom. And so it doesn't register. But, you know, when you do something like this and you really stop and think about kind of the impact of it, then you do have to kind of sit and say, like, no, this is pretty cool.
Ditto.
You a mess. You well, a mess, Jillian.
Well, I'm short on time. That's great. Good job. Good job, sister.
Thanks, sister.
Awesome. You don't have anything to add, Jillian?
No, I think she covered it.
I think we're good.
That was Michelle Singletary, the Post personal finance columnist, talking with her daughters, Olivia and Jillian. And that's it for this bonus episode of Post Reports. Thanks for listening. Today's show was produced by Charla Freeland. It was mixed by Sean Carter, and it was edited by Maggie Penman and Lucy Perkins. If you are looking for more financial advice, check out our show notes or go to postreports.com and you'll see a link to Michelle Singletary's Money Milestones Project. And if you enjoyed this conversation, please send it to a friend. That really helps our show. I'm Martine Powers. We'll be back on Monday with more stories from The Washington Post. Thank you.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.